This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 21 of Tatooine Sons. This week, we share our thoughts on the father-son writing team behind Solo's Star Wars story. Next, we break down the two Solo TV spots released this week. And finally, we ask, what if Greedo really did shoot first? I've waited a long time for a shot like this. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out on some cool, like, father-son stuff, you know?
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I had trouble this week coming up with my intro, so.
We had lots of trouble this week.
Yeah, this week was just a bit of a mess, so.
But that's okay. We're going to have a good time for the next hour.
Yeah.
Or so.
Or. And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
What's up? Haven't seen you much today.
Yeah.
No. Got up really early, drove to Orange County, did some meetings, went back to work, came in, worked on podcast stuff, and now we're going to record.
Yeah.
It's been. And after this, I'm going to probably crash for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah. It's been a kind of a long week. So, So we had a little bit of a break this week on some of our podcast stuff. So if you're a fan and you listen not just to our weekly podcast, this one, which is our flagship podcast. I mean, we should have a sound effect or
the
something
Rattus.
For that. Yeah, our Rattus podcast. Is that what we want to call that?
That doesn't quite sound right.
Yeah, makes me... Nathan, you're just going to stare at me all podcast, I think, while you play with your paperclip?
Yeah.
we had normally our 10 questions on Tatooine Tuesday. Didn't get it up this week because Monday was so crazy I wasn't able to do the interview that night to get it ready, which is fine. And then we've missed a couple of days this week with the Tatooine Sons Holonet podcast. But this one we're going to keep doing every week.
Oh, yeah.
We're here. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be all about Solo. This week.
What do you guys think? The last podcast.
The last podcast wasn't complete.
We had a little bit of other stuff.
What else did we talk about last podcast? We talked about the Solo trailer, obviously.
Yeah.
But then we had our questions from kids. Yeah. We didn't get any questions from kids again this week either, so it made it hard for us to do that. So we did our questions from kids last week, and then we had our Solo trailer, and then we did our What If segment.
Right.
This week we're going to make sure that we cover everything that we do is going to be Solo related.
There wasn't much else this week either.
Well, I mean, there was some there. Well, we'll see in our anything else.
Oh, that's true.
Closing. That's true. There is some stuff. Let's talk about the podcast poll of the week. All right. So last week's poll of the week was it was awesome. First, we forgot to post it. That's the way the week started. Here's my commitment. We're going to get this podcast. Oh, no, the week started. Remember what happened last week with the podcast?
Yeah.
It got up there and only 16 minutes uploaded.
Yeah, that was the beginning of this week.
That's the way this podcast week started.
This has been a long week.
Yeah, that's the way this podcast week started. So if you listened to last week's podcast and it cut out at 16 minutes and then you decided something either went wrong with our podcast or you guys, you know, whatever.
Or it's a secret.
If you haven't listened to the end of it, it's actually a lot of fun. So It's been fixed. It was fixed by the end of that day. So you can go back and listen to that episode. But yeah, sorry about that. Hopefully this one worked right. So we're going to make sure this podcast gets up. It gets uploaded right. And we're going to make sure our podcast poll of the week gets up. And then I'm not going to worry about any podcast stuff until the end of the day Sunday.
Rightfully so.
So no
HoloNet.
Not tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow night. I'm just still haven't decided.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Cool.
But we'll make that happen. All right. So this week's podcast poll of the week got posted like 8 hours ago. So it's not really a podcast poll of the week. It's more, it is the only poll that we're going to do this week.
That's true.
But it's only been up for 8 hours. So it's gotten a little bit less traction than normally would at this point.
You think?
But we're not going to talk about the number of votes, but we are going to talk about the percentages of the votes. So our podcast poll of the week from last week was on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect. You have to qualify that. Did you see that Google reviews video, church reviews?
Yes.
And the person that was like, left a great review for the church that was like, awesome. This is the
thing. 1 star.
And they gave it 1 star out of 5 on Google.
They're saying
they didn't quite get the idea.
So I have to always clarify when I do these 1 to 10 type things. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, what's your score for the full Solo, a Star Wars Story trailer? So before I give the results from our vigilant fans that jumped all over this podcast poll today, BB Nate, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, what are you going to give it?
10.
Really?
Yeah, it was good.
You like? I mean, couldn't have been better.
They summed it up pretty well.
Nothing you would leave out? Nothing you would have added? What if Boba Fett was in it?
That's what I was going to do.
Okay, so now, I mean, what if Jabba the Hutt was in it?
That's what I was going to do.
No,
It would have been better, but they did what they had to do to get your attention.
And so for you, 10 being perfect means it got your attention, it made you want to see the movie.
Yes.
It accomplished that.
And also, they have to keep stuff held back, and they can't just release a whole movie in one day.
That's true.
Yeah, do you think that there are stuff in this teaser or in this trailer that won't be in the movie? Kind of Rogue One, Last Jedi-ish? Yeah,
probably. And then that'll be in the movie, like characters. Because Rogue One, you never saw Darth Vader.
But it was rumored, yeah.
Rumored about Boba and Jabba, there's chances that we could see him in this movie, Solo or whatever.
I hope so. What about you, Sam? Samuel,
probably give it an 8 or a 9.
8 or a 9?
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously I want to see either Jabba or Boba, but, you know, they also have to hold something back. So.
Because Boba Fett's your favorite Star Wars character and you're Samuel the Hutt?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
That kind of works.
You know what? My favorite character was in this one.
Really?
He was in this trailer.
No way.
Yeah.
For how long?
Like the whole thing almost.
Wow.
His name is Han Solo, though, so that makes it easy. I'm so pumped about this movie. This is actually a bit really good we're doing this tonight because it's like it's turning my mood around just thinking about this movie.
That's good.
This is going to be exciting. So, all right. Solo, let's see. I would give it probably a 9.
Yeah.
On that. Let's see what our fans did.
I'm the one in this group.
You are. Well, you know, you're just optimistic. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. So coming in fourth place, we gave four different categories. 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, or 10. So we let 10 stand on its own because that's perfect.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right? So 3% of the people that have voted in their poll in the last 8 hours, or actually 7 hours and 57 minutes, sorry, 3% voted 1 to 3. And that's not good. So here, this is the one I want. I'm looking for a sound effect. Bad podcast, but it's going to be worth it. So this is what I have to say to all of you who gave it a 1 to 3.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
You need to go home and rethink your life. All right. So then the next category in 16% of the podcast, or of the poll, gave it what you gave, BB Nate, 10.
10.
So that's still pretty good. 16% gave it a 10.
More than the...
Yeah,
1 to 3.
Absolutely, it's like that's good.
Ooh.
Then 23% gave it 4 to 6. So I think that they would probably say,
"I got a bad feeling about this."
Yeah. Appropriate
and more than one right.
Absolutely, 4 to 6. 4 to 6 on there, and then 58% gave it between 7 and 9. Hey, so well over 50%. When you take those seven, like if you add 7 to 10 together, if add those two categories, that's like 74% gave it at least a 7.
How much do you bet
on Neil that?
Did the 10.
You think Neil gave it a 10? Neil Lowry? I am almost certain you're right. He gave it a 10. I don't even have to look in to see who voted to know that Neil Lowry gave it a 10, because he is like as positive as you. So
happy beeps.
Happy beeps. All right. So that is our podcast poll
of the day.
Of the day for the week. All right. So let's move on to our first topic of the day. You know, this is actually going to be fun. What the heck was that?
That's my phone getting
somebody's
effects.
Phone's ringing, rattling, and
Sammy, your phone
that's
is possessed.
Probably Bryce.
All right, so hi Bryce. If you
Bryce, hey, if you're listening, I just got your text.
Yeah, well, it's not live, so he won't know this.
Well, I mean, looking back on it at that moment,
there we go. Okay, so yeah, you know, Lawrence Kasdan. Do you guys realize how big Lawrence Kasdan is?
Yeah, he did episode 5, right?
He did 5. He did 6.
He did 7.
And he's doing...
And now he's doing Solo. But he's not doing it alone. Well, he did it... He did 7 with his son, Jonathan. Huh? And he's doing...
Good name.
Solo with Jonathan. John
Hey,
Kasdan.
See, this all tied together. That was my intro.
So there you go. So see? Father and sons
I'm
wrote...
I'm not a total idiot.
Solo, a Star Wars story. So it would make sense that if they went on the Star Wars show and interviewed what it's... talking about what it's like to write together and do this... script and everything together, that a show that's all about how Star Wars is all about family and it's about fathers and sons geeking out about Star Wars together, we should listen to that interview.
That's a good
and
idea.
Comment on it, don't you think?
Yeah, you're sure. So smart.
I am smart, and sort it makes of. My podcast planning today easier. Han Solo blaster. What's the name of that blaster?
DL-44.
Good, because that's... Oh, see, I got it wrong.
What's up?
There it is. Yeah. I hit the wrong button, but we did the right button. And
you might want to go down.
Just play it.
All right, so here we go, and we'll stop it as we go along the way when we have something we want to talk about.
So excited to be joined here in the studio by Lawrence and John Kasdan, the writers on Solo, a Star Wars story. Thank you so much for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Having written Empire and...
First of all, that sounded kind of creepy.
I did.
Our pleasure. All right.
Jedi and then The Force Awakens. You have written the majority of Han's life here. And you were working on Solo previous to...
That's just so cool. Everybody knows, that's Anthony Carboni from the Star Wars show. Pretty neat guy. And there's the phone buzzing again.
All right.
It's kind of weird.
You were going to say something, Samuel?
It's cool that, you know, he said that you've written most of Solo's life.
Yeah, isn't that
He's
awesome?
Written his death
it's going
and his,
full
like,
circle here.
He's going to talk about that in just a second. So.
TFA, right?
That's right. When I agreed to do Solo, I said, I can't do this without John. He had helped us out on Force Awakens. He had been around the whole thing for a while. He had great ideas about Han. And I couldn't really face doing it myself without him.
Obviously, you, as a star...
Did you?
All right.
So we did this thing before we started recording where we would give each other signals.
I didn't give him a
and
signal.
And one of the signals that I suggested was sort of like a cut signal.
I didn't even raise my
Sammy
hand.
Just did a cut signal.
He did.
He went like this.
Yes, we did.
Okay, and then, well then, I want to talk about how it's cool that he wants his son there because he helped out with The Force Awakens. See?
There we go.
Best
all right.
Save.
Woo!
So actually, he gave a cut signal when he shouldn't have. That's what that's all about. All right, let's keep going.
Star Wars fan had a very singular sort of childhood around Star Wars.
It was crazy. I mean, I sort of became a fan like a lot of kids in my generation through seeing it on video and the toys. And then when George and Larry sort of continued to maintain a relationship, it's always been sort of a Star Wars family. We've been tangentially related. So when they sold the company, Larry had not told me anything about it.
Okay, I want to stop here and just acknowledge something that's a little strange. Okay. Did you guys notice what he's calling his dad?
No.
George?
He's calling him Larry. You guys will never call me David. Just
Hi,
so
David.
You know that. All right.
It is a little weird.
It is strange.
I was saying it because it just sounds...
Yeah, so Larry called me. That's his dad. Dad called me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's weird.
My father.
Yeah. And he... Oh, wait. This is really cool. Lawrence Kasdan... wrote the line, "No, I am your father."
Whoa.
You know what would have been awesome is if he stopped his son Jonathan in the middle of this when he was calling him Larry and said, "No, I am your father. That would have been awesome. All right, let's keep going.
And I called him up. I said, I bet they're going to try to get you in there for something. He's like, well, actually, I want a meeting. I was like, I knew it. And then, you know, I've sort of kept it close. When this came up, it seemed like an opportunity for us to write something together, which we always wanted to do.
I did want to write with John for years. But, of course, there's that wariness. Can a father and a son
even
possibly
be in the same room together?
All right. We gotta have to have a meeting with John and Larry sometime.
Wiry.
And yeah, it was John that was being creepy at the beginning too.
Wiry. So
my pleasure.
My pleasure. He sounds. Who does he sound like? What's that?
Mike Wazowski. Yeah.
No, it's
It's the cat from.
No,
it was the Alan Stone dude.
No, it was Leia from.
Oh yeah.
My pleasure.
So anyway, now you know who wrote that line in The Force Awakens. What was I talking about? Oh, we need to have a meeting with them and show them how a father and sons can be in the room together, enjoy doing things together every single week. Because apparently
every single week?
Well, we do
we
it every
see
single
each
week.
Other every day.
Well, I mean, as far as like a podcast.
Yeah, true.
We podcast together every single week. We do see each other every day because you guys still live at home, and that's good because you're like 16 and 12.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to stop and say how glad I am that we enjoyed being together.
Side note, I didn't know Larry was short for Lawrence.
So does that mean that the cucumber from VeggieTales' full
is
name
Lawrence
is Lawrence the cucumber?
Cucumber? Yes.
That's the third?
The third.
All right. Sir Lawrence the Cucumber. That sounds good.
It does.
Sir Lawrence that we know.
You're thinking of Sir Lawrence Olivier.
No.
No.
Is it a cucumber or a legume?
No, it's not a legume. It's a vegetable. That's why it's one of the hosts.
Sir Lawrence the Vegetable.
A Veggie Tales.
Veggie.
Yeah, well, I mean, a legume might be like a version of a vegetable. Let's get back to the interview.
This show's going downhill. Fast. All right, let's keep going.
Each time.
It can be ragged, but the good times, which were most of the times, were amazing.
So many of these characteristics that see in Han, the ego and the bravado, like Han's a guy who wants to walk into a room fully formed. Like Han doesn't want you to know about Han.
He would never want this movie to be seen.
So how do you take a character like that back even further?
What we had was a character that we loved, who was enormous fun. It wasn't like we ever approached it like, okay, we're going to fill in the backstory or the origin story of Han Solo. We had Han Solo, and we were going to make a great crime movie around him. What we started with in A New Hope was a very cynical guy, and it allowed for a character arc that sort of naturally lent itself to this movie, which is, how do you become a cynical guy?
And that's...
So that I wanted Jonathan, my pleasure.
I wanted him to be able to finish his thought before we interrupted, because we've been interrupting them like every second.
So. Right. So I thought it was cool how they were talking about how Solo is like a guy who doesn't want you to know about him at all. And I hadn't thought of Solo like that, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Also, he mentioned it being a crime movie once again. You know, confirming our suspicions.
No, well, I don't know if that's confirming our suspicions, because there's the idea that it's a heist movie.
It's this thing.
It's going to be a Western. But anyway. Yeah, what do you think about that? That idea that
the same
Solo...
through my head for the whole crime thing. I'm like, but we think it's a Western.
Oh, yeah.
But he just really said that it's a crime, which... Interesting.
Well, I mean, heist movies are sort of crime movies in a way. I mean, it is
crime. The Great Train Robbery was a heist movie that was a Western.
That was what it was called?
I think it's a
the
real
Great
movie.
Train Robbery.
If they haven't made that movie, they should.
Yeah. You want to go work sure on have. That? You and I will co-write it.
You and me, and then we'll bring in Larry, and if we co-write it, though, are you going to have to call me David?
Okay.
No. That's not happening. All right, let's keep going.
Sort of fascinating to me is to go back and tell this beginning. There's this sort of idea of, well, what needs to be told and what needs to be sort of kept mysterious or kept a secret. And so what first popped into your heads as writers about how much to tell or how little to tell about Han?
Han was always my favorite character. I loved him in A New Hope. I had enormous fun writing him.
That's because Larry Kasdan is awesome.
Yeah.
If Han's his favorite character.
the next two. When he was on screen, I was involved. So I didn't approach it so much as what don't we know, but he was a living person in my life. And like any living person, you wonder about what was their youth like? How did they get to be the person that I met much later?
Obviously, we're bringing in a couple characters that we already know. Do you write lines for Chewie or do you write feelings for Chewie?
In this script, this is really cool. We wrote every one of Chewie's lines. We wanted Alden, who was playing Han, to know what was being said to him. So he would know what to play, regardless of what he interpreted from the moan.
Because there needs to be a very deep affinity between Chewie and Han, and so you can't have any, I would imagine, sort of ambiguousness between the two.
The correct word to use there, Anthony, is ambiguity. Anyway.
But, you know, it echoes the reality of filmmaking, which is you come in, the actors don't know each other, and over the course of a difficult endeavor, they get to know each other and they have to trust each other. And that happened with Alden and Jonas.
And
all right, so the question then I have to ask is, do we ever get a chance to see the lines?
No,
that they wrote for Chewie.
Because part of the fun is not knowing exactly what Chewie says.
I would love to see
I would love to see it too, but it's also fun to have.
Especially
know
The Last Jedi.
In The Last
Jedi?
Where
where he's like, yeah, tell
yes!
Him. Yeah!
Did they write that line or not? Because that's like a great meme
and that
that's
makes
going
me,
on
That
right
makes
now.
Me wonder, did they write his lines for all the movies or just Solo?
That's cool. I mean,
well, maybe Fred Pershing's back. And
we know, though, that Chewbacca's, you know, moving the story along with his grunts and Wookiee sounds. Well, now I just want to know what he says in these movies. What he said to Rey in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
We know that he tells Han in this movie that he's 190 years old.
That's true.
We talked about that.
I think they write the lines for the other characters because
so
they kind of have
that,
to translate.
So then the dude in the suit, Jonas or whatever his name is, I don't know his last name, I can't remember it. It's
who
like,
are you talking about?
The guy that's playing Chewbacca in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Jonas. Something or other.
What a cool first name.
It is kind of a cool. You know what Jonas is in English?
I don't think I want
I'm pretty confident it's Jonathan.
Cool. Whoa.
I'm a cool
so I, you want me to call you Jonas for the rest of
no,
the weekend?
No, it just sounds really weird, actually, now that I think about it being
Jonas. All right. So anyway, does Jonas, does he recite the lines in the movie? Does he have to memorize his lines? Because he's in that suit. He can't read his lines.
Well, I mean, I imagine he has to memorize.
Well, he has to make the noise, I don't think.
I think he has to memorize somewhat part of the line. Because that way he knows
what. Does he say the line?
I don't think so.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tweet to Jonas. Because Jonas is really cool on Twitter. He's responded to people before. We're going to ask Jonas if he had to actually recite the lines.
That's fair.
All right?
And what were they?
And we'll try to remember to do that, like, someday. But if you're listening to this podcast, go look for that tweet. What's the hashtag? Chewie's lines. That's easy to remember, right?
Yeah.
Is it easy to spell?
Sure.
Chewbacca? Yeah. Chewbacca's lines?
Yeah, that's harder, I think.
Well, yeah, but
Chewie's.
Chewie, like with an I-E?
That's how you spell it.
Okay, Chewie's lines is the hashtag. So search for Chewie's lines and help us connect with Jonas. And see if we can get Jonas to answer that question. All right, let's keep going.
People are so overwhelmingly into Lando.
Boy, it seems like. Huh?
There's something about Donald that you see him dressed that way.
He does.
And it was immediate. Everybody wants to see more.
The other dichotomy in Lando is that he's this incredibly sort of loose, casual guy. But at the core of his story in our movie is a very deep relationship with his co-pilot.
We're talking...
All right, first let's talk about Lando in his Gordon Gartrell shirt from the Cosby Show. Actually, the Denise Huxtable shirt.
Oh,
From that classic episode. I swear, whoever made this costume knows that they did that on purpose. I don't care what they said.
They've been taking record labels for the posters.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
They stole that shirt idea. Another controversy. So anyway,
from the Cosby Show.
Yeah, like Bill Cosby ain't got enough controversy right now in his life. All right, so...
let's not get all political now.
That's not political, that's just crazy, man. Anyway.
That's just true.
Cliff Huxtable got creepy. All right. So anyway, what do you think about Lando in this trailer?
In the
spots and stuff that we've seen.
I like him.
Yeah?
Donald's definitely got him down.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's all hype. I didn't really? See. I'm gonna go out on a limb. Maybe it's just because I'm tired and grumpy today. But I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I think that everybody's all excited about Donald Glover playing this character because they've hyped him up so much that they just think it's awesome. Everything he does, they think is awesome, just based on the fact that it's Donald Glover and everybody loves Donald Glover and he's great in Atlanta and all the other shows, Parks and Recreation, and all the shows that he's been on, and like the 47 seconds that he was in Spider-Man Homecoming, stuck to the car, and stuff like that.
That's hard to act.
Yeah. So everybody's all excited about Donald Glover, and they want to see more Lando, so they're like projecting this onto him. I don't think he's done anything in this movie that's actually been, in the trailer so far, that has actually been that exciting. That's just me.
Well, you haven't seen much of him. I think they're trying to hold back.
Well, I hope so, because there's going to be a lot of Lando hype that people are going to be disappointed by.
What's new?
What do you think about this, what they're getting ready to talk about, this weird relationship with L3? His robot?
Yeah, that's all right, a little weird.
Let's listen to that.
About L3, right?
L3,
yes. L3 is interesting because this is a droid that kind of upgrades herself, yes, and kind of has more of a emotional
soulful
animus.
There's an emotional core to her. With L3, you're instantly enchanted by her. And the actress playing her is phenomenal. She's the female version of Donald. And the combination of that and her conception of what this droid should be like is so charming. You can't turn away.
Talking a little bit more about Han's past.
So Phoebe Waller-Bridge is the female Donald Glover?
Apparently.
That's an interesting take. I probably would have never made that connection.
I just thought it was cool that it upgrades herself.
Yeah.
That's why it's got those like R2 unit arm
it's
things.
Like a computer.
Yeah, it upgrades itself. It's got an actual like emotion processor or something. That's but I guess cool. Most droids do. Because it gives them their personality.
Except for K2.
No, K2 does. He just doesn't have...
K2's is just a little twisted.
No, K2 just doesn't... He just says whatever, you know, is on his mind. No
bars
hold.
He doesn't have a mind.
Anyway.
His circuits.
So.
Anyway, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I can't tell where the eyes are on her character.
I think it's like the very front.
I mean, because there's the little white dots in the front. But then there's one way on the side. I can't tell where to look on the Roomba.
All right, let's keep going then.
We did get to meet some new characters as well. Yeah. We got to see Kira. This is somebody who's known Han since he was a child, which I feel like is something Han must not love at all.
We talked about Han growing up in an urban environment. He really grew up on the streets where he had to learn to be quick, where he had to sort of survive. And we wanted him thrust into a sort of makeshift family.
That sort of through line of found family that is in all the Star Wars
and
films.
Kira and Han have a shared background that is very rough.
Another character that I saw that I was instantly into because it's a character that has that sort of iconic Star Wars look. Can you tell us about this character?
All right, first we got to go back and we got to talk about Kira. So what do you guys think about Kira so far?
Yeah.
Just in general.
We don't know anything about
She's Kira. I mean, there's nothing super exciting about it.
Not yet.
I mean, it is interesting that she's known Han for most of Han's life, so that'll be interesting to see. But otherwise, I mean, it's no different than seeing, like, Jin in Rogue One. It's just a...
I think that whole chase scene where he's running away and he crashes the whole speeder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the dice. The dice are in that. In the teaser trailer.
I think that's, like, really early on.
Yeah, I feel like that's early
on. Yeah, I think that's going to be, like, early in the movie just to show...
With Kira.
Yeah.
You know, the speculation some people have is that that's actually Kira's speeder and they're her dice.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which would be bizarre, because they carry all the way through to the last chip.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Feels forced. I don't like it.
Forced?
Hold on.
That's not how the Force works.
All right, it was too easy. Okay.
I'm going to say it again.
I think the way that you guys feel about Kira, because nobody knows who Kira is, and if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, you're not really into the actress, Emilia Clarke, I think that is the way that everybody would think about this Lando character if they didn't know Donald Glover or Lando. It'd be like, it's okay. I don't think he's as cool as everybody's acting like.
I think I'm excited for Lando because I'm excited to see
how he was, and
I'm just not excited for Kira. We've seen more Lando, and that's not a lot, than we've seen Kira. That's wrong if you're seeing more of that.
Well, no, I think it's wrong.
I think
Lando's a bigger draw because we know Lando.
Right. So. I think I see where you're going with the Lando thing. I think I'm excited just because it's...
Because it's Lando. The idea of Lando is what everybody's excited about.
Not necessarily Donald, because I don't know anything.
I don't think Donald is... I don't think Donald Gleason...
Donald Glover.
That's what I meant. Donald Gleason's a different actor.
Yeah.
Donald Gleason. That's what it is.
What did he play again?
I don't know. That'd have been a weird combination. He's Armitage Hux.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. So if we combine Donald Glover and Domhnall Gleeson together in a character, that'd be weird. But anyway, I don't think that Donald Glover's doing that great in these clips. I mean, I don't think his lines are getting delivered. It doesn't feel like, well, what do we have here? You know, it doesn't feel like the Lando from Empire Strikes Back. It really doesn't to me. But that's just
because
me.
Because he's like, it's like,
we gotta think it's young Lando too, so maybe he hasn't.
Well, if everybody can say that they don't think Alden Ehrenreich feels like Han Solo, I'm allowed to say
that's very true. Very true.
That Donald Glover doesn't feel like Lando.
Do you feel like Alden Ehrenreich does feel like Han Solo?
I think in the clips that we're gonna hear, where we get more dialogue from this Han Solo than we have so far, I think that he's more like Han Solo than Donald Glover is than Lando.
Okay, you're just about to say that Harrison Ford is Han Solo.
He's more Han Solo than Harrison Ford.
Makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. All right, let's keep going. We're almost done with
this clip. Exactly why I was just about to say.
All right, let's keep going.
Yes. To understand who Memphis is, you first kind of think you got to understand who Woody Harrelson plays, which is a character named Beckett, who is a sort of highly trained, very lethal criminal. He's a real pro who's into big jobs, and he runs a crew. But one of their competitors is a sort of more pirate-like gang, and the leader of that gang is Memphis Nest.
All of them.
Well, that's information.
Yeah,
that's actually a spoiler of sorts.
Sort of. Oops.
No, that's okay. Well, it's already over. You've already spoiled.
You've done that before.
Okay. Anyway, I think that's an interesting idea. So Beckett's leading a crew to work with Dryden Vos.
So wait, Dryden Vos isn't the bad guy that we know
yet? I don't know. He's working. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the movie, but Dryden Vos. We'll see or hear this in the clips coming up. Would you stop dropping things onto the desk? Okay. Dryden Vos is hiring a crew. Beckett's putting it together. He's going to put into it Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
At some point. Kira's a part of it.
Yeah.
Lando will end up being a part of it. Okay. And there's a competitive crew with Memphis Nest, which is a girl. We know this. It's been confirmed.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Maybe it's Phasma's mother.
You know, you're joking.
That is actually not a bad idea.
No, it's not Phasma's. Well, it could be Phasma's mother.
Because they're probably.
It couldn't. It's not Phasma's mother, okay? Because I've read the Phasma novel, and that just doesn't work that way.
Okay, no, it doesn't.
But the character and the way she's costumed and the way she functions
is very
similar to the way that they are on that planet. So, Delilah Dawson, you wrote the Phasma novel. You've given us a great entrance into this, because the way that Phasma is in that novel is the way that Memphis Nest looks like in this movie. So.
Maybe it's a very young in Phasma.
No, we know Phasma's story.
Anyway, that's interesting.
So
I'm not excited for Memphis Nest because it's just there's not much to her right now.
Well, you keep saying there's not much to these characters.
There isn't.
It's a minute and a half clip,
right?
That you've seen, like 2 minute clips. There's nothing to these characters yet. Okay. They don't want to spoil it, Nate.
You said so yourself.
We don't want you to get spoiled, so we're not going to let you get spoiled. That's what they're saying.
On the other hand, I'm excited to see this character, and I think it's cool that there's more pirates in Star Wars.
Pirates in Star Wars.
I mean, there's
it's
already
not a pirate. Western. It's a pirate movie. It's like Johnny Depp's going to show up.
Nice.
No, it's like
It's
like Lone Ranger and Pirates of the Caribbean.
A pirate's life for me.
Hey, we're gonna ride that.
We're gonna ride that. In 2 weeks from right now, we will have ridden that.
Hey, if you're a fan and you're gonna be at Disney
Star Wars Night, Disneyland,
or Disney during what the 3rd and the 4th?
Well, it's got to be Disneyland or California Adventure because we're not going to Orlando.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. May 3rd or 4th.
The 3rd or 4th?
Of May.
Let us know. We should meet up.
We should have lunch together. We should have a lunch meet up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where?
That'd be cool.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Somewhere. Tomorrow.
I'm excited to see Star Wars Pirates.
Yep. All right. Let's finish this interview so we can move on.
Movies builds on the backs of the people that came before. And now we're in a certain galaxy, and so that's a certain kind of story. But it did give us enormous freedom to draw from whatever we want.
All right. That's it. That's nice. Basically it. Because then at the end, it's like Anthony Carboni goes, ah, well, thanks for being on the show. And, you know, and then they move on. So we cut that part off.
Where's Kevin DeYoung?
But it was cool. That was a good interview. Yeah.
We got some info.
We got some info.
Pirate info.
We can coach Larry and Jonathan on their relationship. Larry.
So when I meet him, instead of going like Mr. Kazan, should I be like, what's up, Larry?
No, I don't think so.
It's not going to be Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not going to be Lone Ranger. It's going to be the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything.
Oh, good Lord. We've been going way down this VeggieTale trail today. All right.
We're all exhausted.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you for... we just killed probably 25 minutes of some of the worst podcasting in history. And so if you...
Which makes it the best.
Which, if you enjoyed the worst podcasting in history and you want to help fund us to continue to do better podcasts than what we've done today so far, then Samuel the Hutt has a message for you.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends at Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
Second YouTube.
All right, so we're back. So now we've got a couple, you know, TV spots dropped this week. And so we've got to give our opinions on it. We've watched them. Yeah. And now we're going to listen to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes listening to these things gives us information we didn't see.
That's
true. See?
Literally. So let's start with the first one. All right, so here's the first one. Which one is this one? This
let's
one's
just
crew.
Let's do that one first.
We'll do crew. They're about 45 seconds each, which is cool.
46.
Let's, we'll listen to the whole thing, and then we'll talk about it. Fair. Okay?
3, 2, now! So what's your name anyway?
Hey, kid. There's a big shot gangster. He's putting together a crew.
You think everything sounds like a bad idea.
If you come with me, you're in this life for good.
I waited a long time for a shot like this. I got a really good feeling about this.
All right, guys, woo! What do you think about that 45 seconds? Oh, so that one's called Crew. So that's about them putting the crew together, everybody coming together on this.
Like
by the way, Bryce, if you're listening to this podcast, we've talked about you earlier when the phone was getting texts. You just called in the middle of the podcast. It rang on my computer. I'm not quite sure how that happened.
I don't either.
But
that's so cool.
It rang on my computer, and it interrupted my podcast.
Yeah,
so
interrupted us.
I'll say something to you about that Sunday and tell you to stop calling. No, I'm kidding. It's cool, Bryce. It's cool. Maybe you can come to SeaWorld with us tomorrow. So anyway. All right. Okay. What did you think about the first, you know, the crew teaser?
I like it a lot.
Yeah?
I really like it.
Yeah? What was your favorite part?
Okay. I'm a magician, so I like cards a lot. There's something that you may have not known about me. So the whole scene while they're doing, while they're at the
who
card
puts
game,
the chips forward, which we saw in the full trailer.
I need those cards.
Oh, and
so
then he has the cards.
Bad.
That's right.
And they're springing them and stuff. Oh, so cool.
You think he'll sell those at Star Wars night?
I sure hope.
Oh,
because those
hope.
Things
with
are
pack
so
of tickets.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and then they, I love it when he's sitting next to Chewie and he shows him his hand and Chewie's just like, oh.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's
that
so
shows
cool.
The relationship. But what's really interesting. For me, my favorite part is the very beginning. So they,
yeah.
You know, they show the train thing, and then they're standing there.
Yeah.
They've obviously
done something.
That's got to be like at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Do you think he breaks them out?
Maybe
of
that's
the train.
What's on, maybe that's
is it like
train.
A Wookiee slave train or something.
Yeah, that's
and
very
he breaks
possible.
Them out.
Oh my gosh! Do you not remember doing this? Like you
no,
talked
here,
about this 2 months ago.
I know, but in Legends, he breaks him. He's a
yeah.
slave. I but I. kind of got the idea that the train was the big thing that the crew was putting to, they were putting the crew together for. Yeah. That's what I thought that the train was.
Yeah, because it has Enfys Nest.
Exactly. So they're on this train. So that's what I thought that was all about. But then it looks like they're in the same area. Yeah, it looks like it's afterwards. Snowy, yeah. And Han looks over to Chewbacca and says, "So what's your name anyway?" So that's where they meet.
They just haven't talked a whole lot.
I don't know if it's your. Because the first time I watched it...
Yeah, it's yours. I watched it with subtitles earlier.
You did? Oh, yeah. It makes sense. It's like, so what's her name?
No, it's what's your name?
Yeah.
So that's the moment that Chewbacca and Solo meet. That's like almost is making me tear up just a little bit.
The feels.
You're so tired.
I know. I love Solo. He's my favorite character. Yeah. So, and the relationship with Chewbacca, that sort of translates throughout the entire clip. The entire... A TV
that's true,
spot.
That's true.
Because you start with, so what's your name? And then by the end, he's sitting there showing him his hand.
Yeah.
Which is like a metaphor. When you say, when you show somebody your hand, that's a metaphor in the real world for like you're telling them who you really are.
Yeah.
And you're showing them everything about you. So now he leans over and he shows Chewbacca his hand.
Yeah.
That's like a symbol of the fact, maybe I'm thinking this too much through, but.
Hey, it's cool.
I think that's a moment that like you see that they're together.
Did you cry when Solo died? Han died.
I did.
You did?
Yeah,
rightfully so.
I cried when Solo died.
You cried when
I cried when Luke died.
You're gonna cry when Leia dies.
No, Leia's already dead.
Sort of.
If they follow through on my idea, I might crap my pants instead.
I might cry too.
If I see a porg try to save somebody and get shot, I'm gonna.
If they use... If two things could make me, like, totally lose my mind. This has nothing to do with Solo.
But
in Episode 9, two things can make me lose my mind. If they take my advice on how to open the movie with the crawl and all that, which we talked about on, like, 28 of the 20
episodes. I think we talked about it on every single podcast.
If they do that, and if we hear the name of a porg in there called Turbis, I might lose my mind. But anyway. All right, cool. And what did you... What about this, BB Nate? I'll ask you this question because you haven't really... I mean, you've said stuff about the trailer, but you haven't really spoken in on it. Are we ringing again?
I am just blowing up.
He's popular.
Okay, I'm never popular unless I'm doing something else like this. It's ridiculous.
That's
why do I have to suddenly get all...
You got text going on over there. All right,
oh my gosh,
you said popular. So the famous line in all the Star Wars movies is, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Bad feeling about this.
Han looks over early on in this clip and says, you think everything sounds like a bad idea.
Oh,
so how many times in the history of them being on that have we seen Chewbacca say something and he says something about it being a bad idea? What do you think?
Oh, you think
it's happened a lot?
Oh,
because in the other in the full trailer, that's he says something, right? Chewbacca says something and Han Solo says... Well, what do you know anyway?
Oh, what do you know?
Yeah, oh, what do you know? You know, like that, this is a bad idea. Oh, what do you know? I think that's what he says. I think that's like one of his favorite things to say.
There you go.
That's kind of cool.
Who needs the lines to be released?
Yeah, I mean, come on. They don't need it.
Yeah, I like that line. That just shows, that's like twice now where Han hasn't had this cynical view of things. You know, he's like, I've got a really good feeling about this. And then he's all like, you think everything's a bad idea. So something has to happen in this movie that...
Kira dies.
And gets rid of his...
Kira sacrifices herself to save him.
No, I think he gets betrayed. But something has to change his naivety. Is that right?
Naivete. It was close enough.
Yeah.
It'll do.
See, but you get what I mean. Something has to change his mindset drastically. I think he's going to get stabbed in the back. Not literally, obviously. But, you know, he's going to get betrayed by something.
And what do you think is going to happen? BB Nate?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
It's a good question.
Let's listen to the next one.
It's a good question. And maybe we'll see in the movie, I guess. Right?
I guess so.
I just haven't seen enough. They haven't given me enough.
No. All right, so let's play clip two, which is the other TV spot that came out this week, which I'm hoping that as we get closer, it'll be like Rogue One, where there's a new spot every single day with it. So let's do Solo. The trailer is called Risk. The TV spot's called
Solo
Risk.
Solo the trailer.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Now you do Star Wars, a solo story, and now you're doing this is
solo trailer. Solo trailer. The trailer.
You know I pay for your food, don't you? All right, all right. Let's go.
Big shot gangster putting together crew. You in?
waited a long time for a shot like this.
What are you doing with Harry and the boy?
We need a ship.
The Millennium Falcon.
Every ship isn't for everyone. She needs a particular type of pilot.
You done flirting?
These people are not your friends.
There's a lesson to be learned here.
I got a really good feeling about this.
All right, first, you nailed it, Samuel. This Han Solo thinks that everything's going to work out. Everybody's going to be on his side. It's all going to be good. That is not the Han Solo that we meet 10 years later in the cantina on Mos Eisley. What happens? And actually, if you remember on the Kasdan interview we listened to earlier, they talked about that's the story they wanted to tell. Where did the cynical Han come from?
Yeah.
We're going to find out in this movie. You are exactly right, BB-8.
BB-8, and it was Sam.
It was Sam? Never mind.
It's okay.
I don't remember who's who anymore. So
we both look the same.
No, you don't. Anyway. All right. Initial reaction to this clip.
I like the crew clip better.
The other one?
I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this one was just kind of not stuff that we've seen.
But it wasn't really anything that exciting.
Yeah. But the crew clip, it was the Chewbacca meeting Han at first thing, and then hit the Sabacc game, and it was more them meeting.
Getting the Millennium Falcon.
So that's why I like the first TV spot better. But I thought this one was good. It gave a little bit more dialogue from Beckett.
And
a little bit.
Lando.
A lot of Lando. Which then goes to my statement earlier. Lando was in this one a whole lot more, and it's neither of your favorite. You like the other one better.
No, but my initial reaction was actually that he sounds a lot like Lando, especially at the end where he says...
Well, he does that intentionally. He calls him Han.
Yeah, but just the way he says it sounds like the original Lando. So there was little things. I mean, it's not perfect, nor is Alden Ehrenreich going to be a perfect Solo, but, I mean, it sounds right. I don't know. Okay. That was the main thing I took away from it. There really wasn't much else that excited me.
All right, so I like the scene, you know, Beckett's talking about, he's putting together, there's a crew, you know, we've heard that line before, Shot gangster, putting together a crew, are you in? And then you hear Han Solo say, I've waited a long time for a shot like this. But the thing that I think is really cool, and it was in the full trailer, I don't know if we talked about it though, is in that scene you see Beckett toss the DL-44 to Han Solo. Han Solo's
classic.
He gets the DL-44. Then you notice at the end, when they're shooting, Lando throws it to him again.
Yep.
So, I don't know, maybe Lando double crosses. Here's a theory. Somewhere in the movie, Lando double crosses Han. He double crosses Han. He takes his gun away from him. Then they get attacked, and he has to, like, come to his aid again. And he throws the DL-44 to him so they can fight their way out.
Or it's a setup, and they make it look like they're turning in Han or something.
And like Rebels. Really all, they go all Rebels on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the finale of Rebels, or the last couple
episodes. That could work,
too. I miss that show.
What do you think about when Lando says, what are you doing with Harry and the boy? He says that to Kira. What did you think about that line?
Benny and the Jets.
Harry and the boy! Harry! Harry and the boy! All right, sorry.
You done?
That was fun. This one was a little therapeutic.
So Lando and Kira have met. Ooh. Apparently.
Yeah, because she says he's the best smuggler in town, so apparently she knows his work.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Every ship isn't for everyone. She needs a particular type of pilot. And then you see Han Solo smirk.
Well, he's that particular.
We know that.
But he doesn't take very good care of the thing.
That'll be interesting to see. Cool. All right. Anything else you want to say about the clips? Can't wait for the movie. All right.
It's only here. It's almost here. Three weeks.
Like what? No.
3 weeks.
No, it's more than that. It's like a month.
36 days. is what they said. In the
well, then that's more than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a little educational moment here.
3 weeks is 21 days.
How many days are in a week?
The 36 is a three.
It's basically 5 weeks.
Yes.
You were a little off, buddy.
A little bit. Okay. 3, 5.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways. And if you know what that is, that's from, congratulations, you're cool. All right, BB Nate, why don't you tell all of our fans how they can continue to support family-friendly podcasts like Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so last week we started a new segment.
Yeah.
We need to find a sound effect for the new segment. What's a good one?
What if?
Ah. Here we go. Wait, where's the one that I want? Yeah, here's the way we go.
Oh, that's
good. This is a good
segment. This is a good one.
This is a really good one.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Yes, so we did a what if segment. So last week we talked about what if the Tantive V4.
Good thing we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Nerd. That's all right, I'll admit it. The Tantive V4 did not have the hyperdrive damaged at the Battle of Scarif. Went into hyperspace, did not leave its signature trail that is officially the canon reason why Darth Vader was able to track it in Tatooine. And it gets to Tatooine. So we talked about that last week, and that was kind of fun.
Kind of thought about
does Obi-Wan train Leia? Does Luke just stay there? So it's all based on the idea that of what happens at the opening of the Last Jedi novel and the prologue where Luke has a dream about what his life would have been like had he not gone with Ben. So we're doing these what-if type scenarios. So this week, we've got to keep it on the Solo front.
Well, yeah.
Here. And we haven't seen Solo, a Star Wars story. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Solo, a Star Wars story.
Wow.
I didn't say Star Wars, a Solo story. That's awesome. All right. Solo, a Star Wars story. We don't know how it's going to work out, so we can't do any what-ifs from that because that's like not ready yet.
What if Han wins? It doesn't make sense. Right.
So we're going to go to Mos Eisley Cantina, and we're going to go to the very first moments that we see.
I got that song stuck in my head.
You're welcome. We're going to go to where we see the Ben and Luke. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't the Greedo scene happen after the conversation?
Yeah.
With Ben and Luke?
Yeah, he said, this could really save my neck.
Yes.
And then Greedo comes.
So Ben and Luke are sitting there at the table, and they have the whole exchange about the Kessel Run, and no questions asked, and no Imperial entanglements, and all that kind of stuff. And Ben and Luke, and they go out to get to sell the speeder.
Yeah.
So that they can get the funds that they need for the... they need some cash. Straight cash, homie.
Straight credits, homie.
That's the way Terrell Owens would say it if he was in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Some of you men and women of a little bit more mature age than 16 know who Terrell Owens is.
Terrell Owens.
Who is he? Who's Terrell Owens?
He's a football player.
What? There we go. Okay. So anyway. All right, this is really good. So straight cash, homie. They sell the speeder. They're off doing that. Han gets up to leave. And who walks up?
Greedo.
Green pucker face.
Greedo.
Big eyes and big ears.
Duck face.
Yeah. Girls out there doing duck face on Instagram, you look like Greedo. Just so you know. It's not
Greedo
attractive.
Greedo did the duck face before. It was cool.
Yeah, that's right. Greedo.
I said that first.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
so you guys
really
heard it.
What?
Greedo did the duck face
power. It was cool. That is all right. All right, cool. So anyway, Greedo sits him down, and they do the whole exchange about, you know, dumping.
I got the money.
You know, just I don't have it with me, and all that stuff. So the big controversy about that scene for the last 20 years has been, or more than that, maybe.
40 years.
Originally in the reverse version of A New Hope, before it was even called A New Hope, it was just called Star Wars, Han Solo shot Greedo. And I remember when I saw Star Wars on HBO as a four-year-old kid, or whenever it was, three, four-year-old kid, when I was watching Star Wars, I remember thinking, whoa, that's like, he's a bad guy. Yeah. Because he shot a little kid. Right. He shot first. It made Solo his story better.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Uncle George. That's Papa John. I meant Crazy Uncle George. Crazy Uncle George.
Get them down your mind.
The maker himself decided it was too intense for little kids to make the character of Han Solo the bad guy at the start, sort of a bad guy at the start of A New Hope. So he changes the scene and makes Greedo shoot first.
You know what? The only version I've seen is where Greedo shot first.
So imagine the scene. This is the way it was. Han Solo, literally, he's unbuckling the DL-44 underneath the table. And you like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And he shoots Greedo, and Greedo dies, and that's it. And you're like, this dude is bad, is what you're thinking as a kid.
Yeah.
That's what happened. But because of the maker, we know Greedo shot first in the other versions.
Right.
Right? The official versions now. Greedo shot first. So our what if, in this case, we'll discuss for the next just a couple of minutes, because we don't need to go into the whole storyline.
That's very true.
What if, oh, this breaks my heart to even say it, what if Greedo was the only one that shot? What if he shot first for real, he hits Han Solo, and Han Solo dies in that booth in Mos Eisley Cantina?
It would be just a normal day from Mos Eisley Cantina.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've already killed like one guy in the Mos Eisley Cantina that we've seen. And Greedo gets shot in the story anyway. So it's not that big a deal getting shot. But for our story, if Han Solo dies there, what happens next? I'm going to have BB Nate go first. Man, right. What?
They don't get the Millennium Falcon because they don't have a pilot. I mean, they could, but it just wouldn't work.
Who could pilot myself?
Yeah, Luke.
So do you think that Chewbacca takes them? Or what do you think Chewbacca does when he finds out Greedo shot on?
He rips his friggin' head off, probably.
Limb from limb. Well, Uncle George, that might be a little too intense for kids.
It might be a little too intense for kids.
It would just change everything. Han would be dead. Luke wouldn't probably make it because Chewbacca would be mourning.
So he doesn't go to. They don't go to Alderaan.
No,
they probably get caught by the Empire.
They do.
Whole movie as we know it just doesn't happen. The galaxy is still under the oppression of the Empire.
Wow. Okay, what was your idea?
About that, they don't find the Falcon. They get caught or whatever. But what if Chewie, you know, dispatches Greedo? And then finds Luke and Ben, and they go off and save the world, but they don't have Han. I'm trying to think where that would.
I'll carry that idea forward. Right. So Chewbacca goes Wookiee crazy.
Oh yeah.
And he finds Greedo, and you know where in the scene on the Millennium Falcon where he says,
"Yeah,"
where Han tells C-3PO.
They pull arms out of their sockets.
You know, yeah. He pulls arms off out of people's sockets when he loses.
Yeah.
I think he's ripping Greedo's head off.
Yeah, he's
I don't think there's any limbs attached, any appendages whatsoever attached.
Which is just a testament to how big their
friendship is.
In Solo. Has to.
Yeah, absolutely.
How far they've come.
So then I think. I don't think it happens immediately because I think that it's going to take a bit for Chewbacca to get his bearings again. But let's say they do get on the Falcon and Luke and Ben go and they get to Alderaan. So the Empire doesn't know the base is Yavin until the Falcon goes. Gets caught into the tractor beam.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're going through space to Yavin in order to destroy the rebellion.
No.
They don't know where the rebellion is because Leia wouldn't tell them. So Leia's getting tortured like crazy in this interim.
Mm-hmm.
Worse than she was already. They do get caught into the tractor beam.
Yeah.
unless maybe the Death Star is no longer there because it takes longer.
Oh. So they just arrive at Alderaan, a pile of rubble.
Uh-huh. And so then they have to go to Yavin 4 because the Death Star is gone.
But they don't know that Yavin 4 is the place where it went.
No, they do.
Yeah.
They know. It's R2-D2 knows where the, yeah, where the base is. Do they get that from Leia?
They get it from Leia.
Do they?
Because she.
I guess we'll have to watch episode 4 now.
Okay, let's say they don't know. So they get there and they realize Alderaan's been destroyed. Ben and Luke go to Dagobah.
Ooh.
Woo! It's getting real now. They go to Dagobah and a living Ben and a living Yoda train Luke Skywalker in the Jedi arts.
Meanwhile, so that
Leia's getting completely tortured. She's probably dead. The Death Star's off blowing up planets all over the place looking for Yavin or looking for the rebellion.
Yeah.
But they're holding the systems in check using the power of the Death Star. And I think several years pass while Luke is being trained in the Jedi arts by Ben and Yoda. He becomes like this
ultimate Jedi.
Woo. And then he goes to confront Vader.
Oof. That'd be cool. Now let's go back to where they find Alderaan and they do know where to go to Yavin. What happens there?
It's not as cool.
It's not as cool. It was pretty cool.
That was cool.
My story was pretty cool.
I liked it.
All right. So they get there and the Death Star is still present and they get caught in there.
No. I'm talking they know where to go. They know.
Oh, they know where to go to Yavin 4. Okay, so they go to Yavin 4. They find out that Leia's still
on the Death Star.
On the Death Star, but they have the plans.
So they have to stage...
To the Death Star.
So they have to stage a rescue mission.
Because do they destroy the Death Star with Leia on it?
So they either have to stage a rescue mission while they're attacking the Death Star, or they just blow it up.
So Luke and some of the soldiers, at this point, it could be... Let's have fun with this.
Yeah.
Let's say, who are some of the characters?
Wedge.
I don't know. Well, anyway... Rex, maybe Captain Rex. Ooh,
yeah.
They go and they stage. They use a shuttle, an Imperial shuttle, to get onto the Death Star to stage a rescue, while they're preparing to destroy the Death Star with the fleet. And it's almost kind of similar to what happens in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
They're on the Death Star. They get Leia off the Death Star, and Luke, who's completely untrained. In the Jedi arts, at this point, confronts Vader, finds out that Vader's his... No, Vader doesn't know he's his father. He doesn't know who Luke is. Wow. That'd be fun.
Sounds just exactly
all because Greedo shot...
All because Greedo shot first. See what you could have almost done to the storyline, Uncle George?
But then you wouldn't have Han Solo.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. You could have messed everything up if you just because you just left it so that Han shot first. We'd be all right.
That sounds exactly like the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
That episode's great. Haven't seen that episode, people probably don't even know what Phineas and Ferb is.
They know what Phineas and Ferb is.
All right, well, then there's the Star Wars episode, and it is hilarious.
It is actually really good.
And it sort of collides with the story, but other times, there's times where it really doesn't actually.
Well, it's a Phineas and Ferb episode. So
we decided that parts of it are canon, because why not?
Why not, yeah.
Right. You know, the reason that Han decides to go back and save the rebellion, that's why he's at the Death Star, Battle of the Death Star, is because Isabella convinced him to while they were at the bar.
Yeah. All right. Man, it just got weird quick. Okay. Anything else we want to talk about on this episode?
Anything else?
BB Nate, you raised your hand first.
I did. The new Ewok hunt on Battlefront 2 has come out today.
Today? Yeah. I thought it came out on the 18th.
Yeah, no, it's out.
Oh, it's out. Yeah, it's out.
So today's the 20th.
Yeah.
Or 21st, if you're listening to this. Sorry. Maybe. I don't want to, you write the wrong date down on some, government form today or something.
Oh, gosh, that was today. But it's the 21st when you guys are listening to it, and it's already out. So if you have Battlefront 2, you can play the Ewok Hunt.
For free.
For free.
For free.
You can either play.
It so was cool describe the Ewok hunt. Okay.
You play as a team of stormtroopers trying to escape Endor.
Or
you can play as a team of Ewoks trying to protect their village.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And it's at night, so it's either you're the guys trying to.
So you want to play this tonight, like late tonight after.
Probably, yes. Probably.
We finish up our...
So, like...
You're gonna have, like, nightmares about Ewoks.
Oh, no, I love Ewoks.
It's actually... What's cool about this is it's gonna make Ewoks actually scary.
Like, because in this,
they do this...
I hope it changes my view of the end of
Return of the Jedi. Yeah, because what it is they perform, like, guerrilla warfare. Like, it's the middle of the night, and they're just attacking stormtroopers in the dark. Stormtroopers don't know what's happening. It's straight up... Oh, I'm trying to think of an analogy for this, like, from a movie. I don't know, but it's scary. They don't know what's going on.
Is it
going
to be scarier than A Quiet Place?
No.
I didn't think it's called A Quiet Place. It's scary.
Because you won't know where you are. And what's cool is you can either play as the stormtroopers getting freaked out because where the heck are these Ewoks?
So how did this go from an anything else to like we're actually going to
Because it's cool.
Okay. And what's your anything else there, Sam the Hutt?
I was getting right in the middle of
this. I know.
Anyway.
Sam the Hutt.
There's a strong rumor that tickets for Solo are going to go on sale the 4th. Right?
That's what
and they're going to give us exclusives at Disney.
The problem is the tickets we want to buy are in Marietta.
Yeah.
And this is important we get those because what are we doing buying these tickets for, Samuel?
My birthday party.
His birthday party is to go see Solo. It's his actual birthday.
Yeah.
On the 24th.
17th birthday.
17th.
You go cry?
Not at all. You know what I'm going to cry? I'm going to cry tears of joy on your 18th when I kick you out.
Just kidding. If mom was listening, she would punch you.
We'll find out if mom does listen to this podcast, because if she doesn't say anything about that, then we know she didn't listen to this episode.
Right.
So. All right. Mine is Star Wars J.J. Abrams taps Victoria Mahoney as Episode 9 second unit director. So this is not only is she a woman,
yes,
which is a big deal for Star Wars.
Awesome. Huge deal.
Awesome.
She is a woman of color.
Well, that's
which is another big deal for Star Wars.
Very true.
So congratulations to Miss Mahoney, and thank you J.J. Abrams for stepping to the plate to do this. Now, what we're hoping for is that let's see it happen. Let's see a first unit major main director of a Star Wars film be either a woman or a person of color.
That would be cool.
I'm ready for it to happen.
Let's do it.
Here's what I know. Lucasfilm is more committed to this than anybody on social media and in the news is. And they are going to find the right film for this.
I have a question. It came up a couple days ago.
Really?
And it's not about Episode 9, but it came up. The Game of Thrones directors.
Benioff and Weiss.
Yes.
Nice.
How many movies are they doing?
It is unknown.
Could they be doing two?
They could be doing two. They could be doing three.
They
could be doing four.
Could be doing The Force Unleashed, because it did say that it was going to be old.
Even a more appropriate Knights of the Old Republic.
I would like to see a Force
Unleashed.
We haven't played Knights of the Old Republic yet.
No, we got to do that sometime.
We're going to do
So we already have Knights of the Old Republic 2.
I don't know why.
So now we've got to do Knights of the Old Republic 1. We just bought it, and we got to get working. Anyway,
I think Benioff and Weiss are doing Knights of the Old Republic.
I want Force Unleashed to be put into canon because the story was so good.
Yeah,
it was such a good game.
It collided with a lot of stuff.
It's
a cool character, though.
It won't work in canon.
They have to make another Force Unleashed.
Even though Sam Witwer is one of the best Star Wars guys out there. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, he played. Yeah. Oh my gosh, he was.
You didn't realize that?
No, I mean, now that I see the picture of Starkiller. I can't. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was Sam Witwer. That's his star in the Star Wars world.
That was such
He played Darth Maul and a bunch of.
I
other
didn't
characters.
Remember that. That's even cooler now.
Yeah. All right. So we got to figure out a new podcast poll for next week or whatever.
What?
Ready? Aim and fire! When are the tickets going on sale for Solo: A Star Wars
Bang.
Story?
Did we already do that one?
No. We did when the trailer was going to drop. I think. Okay. We haven't done when the tickets are going on sale. When are the tickets going to go on sale for Solo: A Star Wars Story? Will it be before May the 4th, on May the 4th,
or after
the May the 4th? That's a good poll.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to remember to put that one up.
I'll put it up this time.
All right. Anything else you guys want to share with our amazing fans that are so patient with us?
Thanks for tuning in and suffering through this sort of lackluster episode.
We will try to do better next time.
Yeah.
I thank you for being here and listening to this crazy podcast and being loyal to us every week.
May the force be with you. May the force be with you. And this is going to be probably the most appropriate outro in the history of our podcast.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.